If you just built a house very quickly and popped it on a piece of land, it's going to fall apart because it doesn't have a proper foundation. Same thing with GA4. Spend the few hours. I know it's something that people don't want to do, but spend a few hours, because a few hours now saves you hundreds of hours later in trying to figure out what's going on.
This is Digital Marketer.
Hey everyone, this is Mark DeGrasse, the president of Digital Marketer, and this is the podcast that keeps you up to date on everything you need to know when it comes to digital marketing, from the platforms you'd be focused on to the creative tactics and tools that work in today. Today we have a very special guest, a Digital Marketer faculty member and presenter and all-around awesome guy who has known us here at Digital Marketer for quite a while, Chris Mercer, also known as Mercer, the measurement marketer at measurementmarketing.io. Welcome to the show.
Appreciate you having me, Mark, and love the voice, by the way. We both have that radio voice. It's like, hey, welcome to the sultry sounds of Digital Marketer.
You know, it gets people in the mood. So you gotta keep people going, you know. All right, let's get right into it, because I know you gave a presentation. I think it was at Modern Marketing Mastermind Q2, and it was right before we had that super hard deadline that Google gave us on, like, GA4 is coming. You're gonna lose all your analytics. Like, we're not using the old one at all. Like, this is all, everything's changing. And then the date happened and it didn't proceed like I thought it was going to. So what happened with the launch?
Yeah, that's a great question. This is back in 2023, right? So what they were basically saying was, hey, about middle part of the year, let's call it July 1st, we're going to shut down Universal. And that was the message that everybody was getting. They actually did start to do that back in July. The problem was they realized not everybody had migrated over. And so they had started, they realized this was happening. This is kind of earlier in 2023. So they decided to force migrations. And everybody in March and April was getting these emails saying, hey, we're going to migrate for you. Don't worry about it, which again was a mistake, but that's okay. We'll come back to that later. So everybody said, okay, cool. We'll let them migrate. Well, then they had millions and millions and millions of migrations to do. They started realizing that's not as easy as they made it sound either. So they were way behind the ball on the migrations. They actually didn't get done until close to October when they were finally finishing stuff out, October, November. So then that's why it wasn't like July 1st, everything stopped, even though that was their original plan. It was July 1st, everything's going to stop. Oh, wait, we can't really do that. Okay, so we're going to be migrating. And then as we migrate, we'll send out notices saying, hey, yours is being shut down now. And now at this point, I think everything truly is, especially for the free accounts. This is not necessarily true for the paid, but for the free ones, you should be going to your Universal Analytics, your old Google Analytics, and you'll see it says, this thing no longer collects, you know, information right now, go to Google Analytics 4. So at this point, everyone's done, but that's what was causing the delay, was just, I think, some operational components on their end that were unexpected.
Oh, turns out there's a billion websites we have to do this to.
Imagine that. Yes, they had quite the footprint that they had to maintain.
Yes. Well, that's good. Oh, it's good to hear that it did progress, because I was kind of like, oh my gosh, are we waiting for another date? Okay, that's good.
It did happen. Yep. And now the big date now that people are kind of concerned with is when they lose all that data for Universal. That's the next thing to look at. It's like right now you can get back in your old account and you can still see the old stuff, but it's not collecting new stuff, right? That's what you need Google Analytics for, is for the new stuff. So now it's, okay, when will I go back there? And it's just not even there anymore. Like, because that's definitely coming. My guess is within a year that's going to happen. So now the push is, okay, well, do we pull everything out? That's the thing, is giving people time to figure out how to pull everything out and collect what they need and all that fun stuff. So people have time on that, but that'll be the next one.
No, that's good. Well, I didn't even know you still could access the old stuff. You know, but if you think of, like, man, you're trying to run a report, like an annual comparison, you know, we're going to be dealing with that for a while. Like, you know, otherwise, you're going to have to, you know, have every report you're going to need for the next 3 years, because your clients are going to want to see that stuff. Well, that's good news. Well, let's talk about GA4 and kind of, you know, the differences, because I know we had you do a speech about it. I don't think we've ever actually talked on the show, you know, about the masterclass that you created for Digital Marketer. So what's different? Like, why did it change in the first place?
Yeah, great question. So with Google Analytics 4, and think about it from Google's perspective. They created this tool. Actually, they didn't create it. They bought it when it was called Urchin way back in the day, right? So they buy this company called Urchin. They turn it into the initial version of Google Analytics. And so at that time, and this was what, 15, 20 years ago at this point, the internet was a very different place. We weren't on mobile devices, right? We didn't have Nest thermostats connected to the internet. Our refrigerators weren't ordering milk on their own, right? All that stuff that people are doing now. So as the internet evolved, as marketing evolved, as multiple devices started coming in and users evolved, that platform just couldn't keep up. So they created Google Analytics 4, kind of going, listen, we cannot keep building on this old code base. We have to sort of rebuild it new. And, you know, they kind of had to etch-a-sketch the whole thing and start over with knowing what they know now. What would they do? How would you measure the world as we now know it is? And that's what Google Analytics 4 is built for. That's why I think it's required as a tool for anyone who's serious about marketing or running a business, because you need tools that are built for today, not for tools that were built for 20 years ago. You know, so Google Analytics 4 is built for today. Some things that it does that make it built for today, one of the biggest is modeling. Now, why does it need to model, right? Because people hear modeling, it's a guessing. It is kind of guessing. But look at the world we're in today with data privacy laws left and right. There's new cookie banners every day that somebody's got to put up on their thing. It seems like, depending upon where you are in the world, you might not be collecting a ton of data from your users because you can't, because they're not allowing it, right? So like GDPR, things like that. If they don't give you consent to collect that information, you don't even have it. Well, if you don't have the number of page views that are coming through or cart views or whatever else, how do you use Google Analytics, right? Well, you have to use a platform that understands it doesn't have everything. It knows it doesn't have everything. So it takes what it has. It kind of treats it like the old statistics, you know, class back in the day, where it's like you have a sample size, you got to figure out how to project out trends and patterns based upon the sample that you do have access to. That's what it's doing in the background. So they're trying to, like, instead of making marketers have a brain for all that, which of course we won't, right? That's not our skill set. But Google Analytics does have that built in. So it's like, well, let the platform do that heavy lifting. It will figure out what the right sample size is. It will then try to model what's going on, so that as a marketer, we have something that's a useful truth, right? But so that's one thing that it's got. The other thing that I really like, it is the number one thing that's underutilized in all the accounts that I've come across from our students when they first come into us to learn this stuff, is that it can really be customized, and it wants to be customized. It's not like the old days where, I mean, think about your business and how different it is from every other business that's out there. And yet you want a generic tool that can somehow do everything for everybody all the time. That's so done. That doesn't exist anymore on the internet. It's like picking the one AI tool that does it all. Nope, doesn't exist. There's a million AI tools that do a million different things that you have to figure out how to stitch together. This is just the world, right? There's not one website builder tool that does everything. There's always, WordPress doesn't do everything. You have to have plugins, right? Everything is like this now, so is measurement. So Google Analytics 4 is a platform that, yes, you can put it on your site and you can it'll start collecting some data, but it's going to be really generic stuff, right? Page views, things like that. But the other thing that it can do is you can speak your language. For example, we have an event. Everything's called an event in Google Analytics 4, right? So an event might be a page view or a click, right? So behavior, that's all it really is, just a behavior. Well, another event for us is when they become a Toolbox member, a free Toolbox member, or when they become a paid Academy member. Those are events that we use as a brand. We speak that language within our team as a brand. How many new Academy members do we have? Well, we can go to Google Analytics 4 and see new Academy members because we taught the platform to speak as if it was part of our team, right? And so it's customized to speak the language, so the reporting is a whole lot easier and everything's a whole lot faster and everything just makes sense, because I'm not having to decipher things like page views and clicks and then try to figure out what that means for new toolbox. I just go and say, how many new toolbox people do we have? How many of this do we have? I mean, how many people did this behavior? How many people are hot leads? How many people are cold leads? And all the different behaviors that you measure, all the different things you talk about as a brand, right? For you know, DM, right? So how many people have started the certification for Google Analytics 4? You can measure for that. How many people finished it? You can measure for that. It could be a custom event that digital marketer measures that maybe I don't measure because I don't have that question that I'm asking, but you would. And that's the power of the platform. It could be so customized. And the more that you customize it, the easier it is to use, believe it or not. And that's kind of what I think is the big miss of a lot of this that's going on. But otherwise, it does all the same stuff that Universal does.
That's awesome. Well, I think that's, it kind of addresses the main point or the main problem with marketers, which is attribution, where it's like, hey, we're doing all these marketing techniques, all these campaigns, all these things, but what actually made money is always we're pretty sure it's this because when they clicked on the email, they did it within 7 days of the send. And so we're going to attribute, or what you'll see companies do is attribute percentages of sales to different areas, like, well, it's 30% probably, and then over here, but then they'll start duplicating it, where it's like, okay, well, email is claiming it, plus social is claiming it, plus the paid ads are claiming it. And so do you think this this is the solution? Like, is this a big component of that?
It can be. Yeah, it's kind of two different conversations, because we were talking about with attribution, especially what you were talking about, like multi-touch attribution, it's called, right? Where it's like all these different touch points and which traffic source should get credit. The problem with, so this is a question, it drives me nuts personally, because I'm definitely in the camp that attribution is just like you should stop asking this question. It doesn't have an answer. Multi-touch attribution, like, think about it. Who was the first person that said this? This is John Watermaker, I think, is what attributed that quote, where he said 100 years ago, 150 years ago almost now, he's like, half my advertising works, I just don't know which half, right? Ever since then, everyone's been trying to solve that. Okay, how do we tell what the other half is, which half is working? No one in humanity has ever been able to answer that question. And yet, they've never thought, wait, this is just a bad question.
Yeah, let's just not ask that. It doesn't matter.
There is no answer, right? It's like saying, well, how do we make the sun blue? I mean, I guess you could solve, but why? You're never going to do it. What's the point, right? It's just not useful to ask this question anymore. Multi-touch attribution, people should stop asking that. Instead, attribution's important, just not multi-touch. The problem with multi-touch is you're saying, here's everybody that starts at point A, and then they go through B, C, D, E, F, and then they end up at G, right? The very end, and they buy. And we want to know what happened from A to G. But you're missing the measurement of the middle steps in between. And that's why it's so hard to attribute, where you just end up guessing, and it ends up being, well, it depends what you want the answer to be, which is why I don't like it, because there's attribution models, all these different, oh, you want linear or last touch or whatever. It's all these different ways. It's like, well, if I want the answer to be this, I'm going to choose this. But if I want the answer to be this other thing, I can choose. Well, if you can choose what the answer is going to be, what's the point? It's not a real measurement. Right, it's just your opinion. So instead, I think keep it simple. That's what I like with GA4. It really can be simple. And I think that's the beauty of it, is to keep it simple. It's hard to keep things simple, right? That's a skill. You have to learn that. But you can. And I like using last touch attribution for that. So I don't know about you, but I've never created a Facebook ad that was designed to work 35 days later. You know what I mean? They're always designed to attribute some sort of behavior immediately after that click. So what we do is, when we set up GA4, let's say, for example, I'm a Facebook ad, and I am trying to get people aware that there is a thing called the Measure Marketing Academy over at measuremarketing.io. So what I'll do is I'll create that ad, and I will set it up, and we use UTM parameters. Hopefully people are familiar with those and using those. If not, just Google UTMs, you'll see lots of blog posts that talk about it. But that's what you use in order to tell Google Analytics 4, hey, I am a Facebook ad. I have a picture of a horse in my ad, and I'm trying to get them to do this thing, or whatever the stuff is you want to push over. So Google Analytics 4 can see this and say, oh, you're a Facebook ad. Your job is to make people aware of the Academy. Well, then what we do in Google Analytics 4, we actually have an event called Academy Aware. And so we can measure that Facebook ad against how many Academy Awares did it get? How many people were aware of the Academy? Then immediately, once they're aware, then I can tell Facebook, when you've made them aware, trigger that as a conversion. Especially good if you're like us, we have low traffic, because you need to feed the algorithms on Facebook. So it's a top of funnel, more objectives being hit there. So now that algorithm's being fed, it can make people aware, puts them in a retargeting audience to then get them to actually purchase if they haven't already. So it's like, hey, wait a day, put them in the purchase campaign. Now I'm trying to get them to purchase. Well, now we've got a purchase event. So then we measure, okay, did this ad, which was supposed to get awareness, did it get awareness? Did this ad that was supposed to get purchases, and more importantly, of the 12 ads that are supposed to get purchases, which ones are actually good at getting purchases? And that's how you learn, you know? But because there's very little time between the click and the actual behavior that you want, you can use last touch. The trick to last touch is measuring every single microconversion of the journey. And then it works really well, because you can see it's like lifting the hood of the black box now, and you can see all the gears as they work together. When you can see that stuff working, it's much easier as a marketer to fix stuff. A lot of people that have problems with their marketing, it's not because they're bad marketers. They're great copywriters, they're great offer creators. It's just that they don't know if there's a problem with the copy, or they don't know if there's a problem with the offer, and they end up guessing a lot because they can't see inside that black box of how things are working. When Google Analytics 4 is properly set up, which again is keeping things simple, but customizing it, right? Just in the simplest possible way, you can see your machinery of how the marketing's working. And because you can see it, then your brain goes, oh, well, there's the problem. Now it's easier to solve because I can see it. And that's why that platform is so important.
Ah, I love that. Hey, everyone. I wanted to quickly interrupt the podcast for a special announcement. If you're listening to this podcast because you want to become a better marketer, then I want to share with you what I believe to be the most comprehensive digital marketing program on the market today. It's called the Digital Marketing Mastery Certification. You'll learn to leverage the tools and channels to predictably and profitably drive awareness, leads, sales, and referrals. Everything you need to know to become a true master of digital marketing. We'll take an in-depth look at the core digital marketing competencies, including content, email, social media, community, digital advertising, data and optimization, and more. After earning your digital marketing strategy certificate, you'll have the tools to effectively reach your target audience through a full scope marketing strategy. Get started today at digitalmarketer.com/strategycert. Well, it really sounds like GA4 is trying to become that central, metric component, like the reporting. Like, you want to know how marketing is going? You just go to GA4. You don't have to download the report, massage the data, add in, the stuff you didn't know how to do in Universal, so you had to do it on a spreadsheet and all that kind of stuff.
And if you want to see in funnels, you can. Like, they have a little funnel feature back there. So if you're more of like a graphic kind of person, you want to see the pictures, you can do a funnel report. You don't have to stare at numbers all day long. So it has different options. It's a geeky interface. Let's call it what it is, right? I mean, it's made by Google, so it's going to have this geeky looking interface. But it's an incredibly powerful platform that has a lot of variety to it. So again, even if you're more on the picture side of things, you can create funnel reports that show you how all the different funnels that you have are working, or all the different user journeys you're trying to measure, which is nice, right? Imagine CVO, putting CVO in there and tagging all that stuff in Google Analytics 4 and seeing that actual journey happening by your users. I mean, you can do that.
Well, and then you have a lot less corruptible data because, not that marketers are trying to game the system or something, but you want to look good. And so you download the crap, you process it, and you present that information. But if you had a central source, then one, I think that more of your team members could just log in and see, so you're not having to spend a bunch of time generating reports, which if you've been part of a bigger marketing team, that's like half of somebody's job, at least a person or two, where all they're doing is generating reports all the time. So that's a good solution there. But with all that said, how's the setup go? Because the way you make it sound is it's like, okay, once you get it all set up, it's super cool. The setup portion, like, how technical is that? How long does it take? Like, what goes into that?
Yeah, another good question. It obviously, because it's the consultant answer, right? We're like, well, it depends. And it does, but let's put in some ballpark answers for you. So if you're just starting out, you're not using really any measurement at all, and you've been meaning one day to get around to this Google Analytics stuff, you could just take a script, you create the account, it'll walk you through it, a little wizard, it's pretty simple to get through it. And it'll end up with a little script that says, put the script on your page, just like every other thing works, right? So once you put that script on your page, what they call the Google tag, then it's alive. Now it's recording generic information, things like page views. But again, pro of this particular platform, it's collecting outbound clicks automatically. So when they leave your site to go someplace else, it records that. It records when they submit a form automatically. It records when they scroll to the very bottom of your page automatically. So it's not just page views, whereas the old version, that's all it was, right? The new one collects these, what they call enhanced behaviors. Like, this is pretty cool, like these enhanced measurement things. So it starts collecting all of that. And then you can get into the platform and you do what we call configurating it, or adding the configuration to it. And you configure the account so that you can teach it what your specific behaviors that your brand wants. So there's a thing called creating events and modifying events. There are little settings that are back there. And you might say, well, I'm going to create an event that says, like for us, an example, when you go to the toolbox, we have that free membership, right? Where they have a bunch of tools in the academy, you get free access to them. So we call that the toolbox complete when they've created the membership. We say, cool, there now they've completed the toolbox journey. So what we've done is we go into our Google Analytics 4 and we say, okay, let's create an event. We're going to call it toolbox complete, as in they've completed that journey, when they land on a page that is the thank you page. They've opted in. They've seen the thank you page. Cool. Then they've completed. So we fire that event called Toolbox Complete. That's it. And because Google Analytics 4 doesn't know that's what you call it. So you have to tell it, hey, when this happens, just call it Toolbox Complete. Now it knows. And now you can just count the number of toolbox completes as a goal, right? What they call a conversion or a key event now. So that's kind of the idea behind it. It is not a platform that you're going to be able to get up and running in 5 minutes. I wouldn't do that. I think you'll stress yourself out unnecessarily. You can activate it within 5 minutes and throw the script on the page and have something, right? So that sort of lights it up. But then that next level maybe takes you a few hours to kind of get used to the platform, poking around, see how things are to get it set up. But the more that you spend on that planning process, it's a bit like building a house. the more you spend on the foundation, which let's face it, is not the sexy part of building a house, right? It's like pave the dirt, put the wire, you have rebar in there, and then you have all the pipes that go in, and then you let the cement, then you sit and you wait, you literally watch the cement dry, right, until it's done. That's, none of that is sexy, and that takes a long time. But then within a month or two, all of a sudden there's like a house on top of that, fully fleshed out, and now you're picking out furniture. And it's because that second part, the building of the house, can happen very quickly because the time was spent on a foundation. If you just built the house very quickly and popped it on a piece of land, it's going to fall apart because it doesn't have a proper foundation. Same thing with GA4. Spend the few hours. I know it's something that people don't want to do, but spend a few hours, because a few hours now saves you hundreds of hours later in trying to figure out what's going on, because it's simpler, right? It's got a process to it. And that's why you do that. Now, the second thing, and I'll level it up, just let people know that there is another level to it, is maybe you're using something called Tag Manager, which a lot of companies are using for their Facebook pixels and all that sort of stuff. Well, if you're using Tag Manager, you can install it through Tag Manager. You would set up your account in GA4, and then you can just implement it through Tag Manager. And so when you tell Facebook a purchase occurred, go tell Google Analytics 4 a purchase occurred at the same time. So it depends which one you're using. And for those of you not using Tag Manager yet, don't worry about it. If now's not the time, you don't have to. You can start just with Google Analytics 4. You know, so no matter where you are, you can get that tool to the next step.
Ah, I love that. Well, and really what you're doing is you're putting hard numbers to a customer value journey, which we, you know, that's what we teach here at Digital Marketer. But it's really hard to track when you tell people like, okay, there's 8 stages. And, you know, the first 2 stages, nothing's really happening. And then the third stage, you might have something trackable and subscriptions. 4th stage, the conversion is product sales, so you know what's going on there. But then you have excitement. And excitement is all about getting people excited about the purchase so that they interact with your brand, or they ascend and they start buying more stuff. And all of these things that I just said, just that basic tracking is hard.
Go back to that, right? So go back to that excitement. So we want to measure, if we want to have an event, and Google Analytics 4 says excited, right? We want that. Well, how would Digital Marketer measure that? In other words, what would you want me to do to show that I'm excited with the Digital Marketer brand? Could it be getting in the members area and watching some courses? Then if that's the case, you go, cool. Hey, Google Analytics 4, let's create an event called Excited whenever they go and they see the courses page. Because if they're in that page, that means they logged in, and it means they are in the brand and they are engaging. So there, we're going to call that excited. For other business models, somebody else might say, well, no, that's not for us. For us, we want them to go to the blog and look at our blog post. That would be exciting for us if they're engaging with the brand there. Cool. Then that's what you tell Google Analytics for. When they go to any blog, let's measure that event as excited. And now you go, it goes, cool, I've made them excited now. And then it's ascend. Well, how do you ascend? Well, then it's additional products. When they see these other offer pages that are these higher ticket offers that we're doing to help them ascend, maybe that's the ascent. We go, well, now they're ascending, you know, because now they're into the high ticket offers, and you can measure for all of those stages. So the trick is, when you see when you're going through your CBO journeys and you're measuring for each one of those stages, think about the behaviors. What are the behaviors that that would tell me if you couldn't, almost like a focus group, right? If you imagine a focus group that person typically is like, there's somebody asking somebody questions, and there's somebody behind the room, right? Behind the mirrored glass wall that's observing everything. That's what you're sort of forced to do. As a marketer, you have to observe everything. And Google Analytics 4 is the window that we can look at, right? So when you're observing your users, because there's a disconnect, you can't really talk to them, right? But you can observe them. What behaviors would you want them to do? And then you go, cool, well, if those are the behaviors, how do I tell Google Analytics 4 go look for those behaviors? And that's it. And that's the strategy. And that's what I like about tools like this, is if you try to jump in and use the tool without a strategy behind it, it's going to kick you in the teeth over and over again. And you're going to get frustrated and overwhelmed constantly. I promise you. Ask me how I know, right? I mean, I've done it. So, but when you go, okay, I have a strategy and I'm going to make this tool help me get this strategy done. Now the strategy is dictating how you use the tool. Then the tool becomes easier. Because instead of getting distracted with all the bells and whistles that it has, you go, I don't even care about that. I'm just trying to get the strategy implemented. I just want this piece of the tool to help me with this strategy. And as long as it does that, then you're golden. But that is how I would do it with CBO, is map those out and then map out the behaviors. And they go, can I teach GA4 what those behaviors are? Is there a way we can do that? And most of the time there is. And I'm happy to go through those as examples if you want. We could kind of chart some up for Digital Marketer. But there's ways to do it. I mean, that's kind of the beauty of it.
Oh, well, I think what you're doing is you're really taking a strategy, which is usually pretty abstract, even if you have, you know, touch points that are, you know, super concrete, like they have to subscribe and you get their email. It's making it tangible, Because a lot of times you're saying, yeah, we got to do the paid media and yeah, we got to post some stuff on social, but then, and even your emails, but pulling all the data from all those sources is really hard. And what happens is as you start to implement a strategy, as you, everybody gets overwhelmed by activity, and then the tracking goes out the door, and then the idea behind the strategy goes out the door, and then you get back together next quarter and you're like, what happened? And you're like, well, we did a lot of something.
You're like, why are we doing this again? How do we not, how do we just keep out? You know, it's like you're stuck in this eddy that just circles. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you just said, hey, here's the strategy, and then now we're going to GA4, we're going to map it out, we're going to make sure everything has concrete metrics and all the stuff we always tell people to do, make KPIs, track the KPIs. Is it red, yellow, green, blah, blah, blah. But pulling the information is so hard. So it sounds like GA4 could actually be, you know, the solution for implementing a strategy or realizing that you don't have one, which I'm sure is.
That's exactly right. And that happens a lot, right? Because people get caught up in that. They're like, they'll be at a mastermind like M3 that we were at, right? Somebody shares a tool. You're like, I'm going to go use that tool. And they just start using it, but they didn't really have a reason to use it. They just thought it was cool and it was useful and get in there. But now it wasn't a strategy that dictated that. It was just a gut reaction all of a sudden. And now it's an additional thing we're paying for that maybe no one's using. You know, I've done that with tools. So I totally get it. But yeah, you're right. Strategy first. In fact, I can give you two that I can, for most students, clients that we work with, there's two pieces that are generally missing that cause the problem with their measurement, with whatever they're using, Google Analytics 4 or any other tool. It's normally not the build part. People think it's the build. Like, I really have to understand how to use Google Analytics 4. That's not actually the problem, because that becomes easier when you, it's almost like that's the meat in the hamburger, right? But you got to have the top bun and the bottom bun to truly make a hamburger. Otherwise, it's just a patty, right? So the bottom bun is your plan. You have to have a plan for what you're about to measure. So the quick way to do that, you list out all the questions you're trying to get answers to. You think about where you're going to get the information to get those answers. And then this is the step that is skipped. And it's because people just don't realize to do it. Right then is when you ask, what am I going to do when I get this answer? If the answer is lower than I think it's going to be, if the answer is higher than I think it's going to be, or if the answer is right in the spot that I want it to be. So you're pre-planning what the actions are before you even set up any of the build stuff. Before you look at a spreadsheet, before you look at Ads Manager, you don't even care. You're just like, what am I going to do before? You're thinking about it. What am I going to do ahead of time? What that does is it eliminates the problem where people go, well, I get these reports, but I have no idea what to do with them. The reason there's no idea what to do with them is because there was no plan for them in the first place. And that's what happened, right? There's no plan for it. So of course you know what to do. So, but if you have a plan for it ahead of time, when you see the number, you immediately know what to do because you already pre-planned what the actions were going to be. If the answer was higher, lower, or just right, you know? So the other thing is that, so then you've got the meat in the middle, which is the build. And that's where you're setting up Google Analytics 4. We're talking about setting up different events, things like that. Still, that stays the same. But then there's that top bun, and that's the actual using of your measurement system. In other words, when you're looking at your reports, whether it's in GA4 or a platform like Looker Studio or something else, whenever you're looking at your reports, it's how you use that information is important. First thing, you focus on trends and patterns, not single points of data. People are very concerned with this sometimes because like, well, Tuesday, my conversion rates, you know, like let's say your average conversion rate is 30% for an opt-in or something. And on Tuesday, it goes down to 10. Does that mean I need to go flip out something on Wednesday right away? Maybe, I don't know. It's just one data point, right? I need to wait until Wednesday also shows 10. And now I go, okay, something's happened. It's two data points that are telling me something maybe broke here. Otherwise, Tuesday just could have been a bad day or a weird targeting audience or the algorithm tweaked itself. And it might be a blip because if you think about how, you know, you see this little sample, the loop, right? Where it's like, oh, the 80% is always in the middle. You have your outliers at the end, the bell curve people hear about all the time. The bell curve, there's always going to be outlier events. Don't get caught up in chasing the outlier events. They're just noise, right? So maybe that's noise. So you get used to trends and patterns and measuring over time, right? Even if a few days is fine, but you have a trend. And then you forecast. And this goes back to what you were talking about, the red light, yellow light, you know, green light system. That is your forecast. It's like saying, oh, here's what it should be. Is it? So you can evaluate it. Is it yellow or is it green or is it red? You know, and that forecasting is so important. A lot of people, they will look at that system and be like, that's awesome. And they never do it. And that's such a mistake because it's necessary. That forecasting system is your feedback loop that kicks it back in and says, hey, we tried. Here's our plan. We're going to try to improve opt-in rates because our opt-ins were coming in at 20%. We decided we're going to take this action. We're going to change the offer, make it more compelling, add a bonus or whatever. And now we're going to think our opt-in rates are 35% so we can get in that green territory, right? And then it comes in at 30%. You're like, okay, well, it's yellow. It's improved. It's not quite where we want it to be, but it's improving. So now what else can we do to maybe, you know, get those numbers up a little bit more? And that's how measurement can help just kind of loop and feedback over and over again and ties directly in with what, you know, digital marketer teaches with CBO.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, you know, so hard to do without a centralized system like this, because otherwise what you're doing is pulling data from multiple points, or you're theoretically...
It becomes random acts of marketing, I think Dan Kennedy called it, right?
Yeah, it's random acts of marketing. Well, at the other side of that, if you don't have these data points, you don't know why they're in there, then another thing that will affect everything is just human emotion, where the marketing manager is having a bad day, or they went to a conference and talked to somebody who changed their lives, and now they don't think that the blog is necessary, or... You know, just these drastic changes, and there's no real reason to do something or not to do something. So you just keep doing things. And so it does sound like a great solution. But with that said, I keep on saying that. if you have a company that uses more offline methods, is there a way to incorporate the offline methods into all the stuff that's currently being tracked?
Yeah, you totally can. I mean, there are ways to get it into Google Analytics 4. I'm personally not a huge fan of that. I think it's an unnecessary amount of effort. So for example, like when I'm pulling my numbers from a measurement standpoint, and I might measure this in a spreadsheet or something to keep it easy for me, because I'm comfortable in a spreadsheet, so I'll use that. If somebody else is using a whiteboard or a napkin, whatever, it doesn't matter, right? So where you're recording your results. That's all I'm doing is I'm recording my results, and I think about it like a journal. Right? Just like you would journal to yourself at the end of a day, you know, here's what worked, here's what didn't, here's what's next. That's all I'm doing. I'm just journaling with the numbers. Here's what the numbers were for today. And was that good? Right? What are we going to adjust and how they come through? So I might, when I do it, I'm measuring my user journeys. And we use what we call the ACE model. So I'm asking, right? So first, the ACT model in this case. It's how many people did we ask to buy this product? Right? So I measure that. That may be the number of page views for the offer that show up. So if I have 100 people that show up, that load the offer page, I have asked 100 people to buy, let's say, the Academy, right? So of those that bought, how many considered actually buying it? How many of those asked actually considered? Well, that might be the cart page. So then I go and say, I can go to Google Analytics 4 again and say, well, how many people loaded the cart page for the Academy? Because I'm going to say that's a behavior that shows they're probably considering a purchase, because why else would they be in the cart, right? So now I've got my asks number and I've got my considers number, how many people are considering to move forward and actually purchase this thing. And then I have that final thing, which is the transact, right, of this ACT model. So ask, consider, and then how many actually transact. And in the case of the Academy, it would be a purchase. Now, it might surprise people to hear that I don't use Google Analytics 4 for that, because I don't think Google Analytics 4 is the best source of data for a purchase. I get that number from my processor from the credit card. I go to my merchant processor and I pull the actual number of people who bought this product at this price point that was actually charged, because that's what I care about. And I'll put that data point in there. So I take my first two, because Google Analytics 4 is the best place for me to measure the digital interaction. But that third one is coming offline from my merchant processor and I'm pulling it in there, right? Now, if I was a sales floor and I had number of sales calls, like maybe salespeople are just using tick marks on a post-it note for how many times they're dialing the phone. Then I would take that and be like, this is how many times I am dialing the phone. I'm going to put that number in there. So it doesn't really matter where the numbers are. It just matters of getting them into one central place so you can see how they interact with each other, if that makes sense, you know? So, but that's how I deal with the offline stuff. You know, if you were doing an offline like a retail location, and you have one of those little things that ding whenever somebody walks through the door, that's your traffic count walking in. So if somebody goes through, opens the front door, and that bell goes off and it triggers a counter. It's like, okay, I have 10,000 people walk through my door every day. Of those 10,000, how many considered purchasing? Well, I might measure that as interactions with the salesperson, right? Where somebody said, hey, can I help you? And they actually said, yeah, I'm looking for blah, blah, blah. And the salesperson goes, cool, I'm gonna mark that down, right? And then how many people purchased? Well, then I'm gonna go to my cash register and I'm gonna see how many sales did you actually trigger today and how much money do we have in the register, and then divide those out and figure out my average order. So I can find the numbers in all of these different locations, but it really is the same thing I'm asking. How many people did we ask? How many of those considered? How many of those transacted, and for how much? That's really it.
Ah, I love that. Well, and you know, just for anybody out there that's like, I don't have time to track these numbers, it's 100% worth it. And it's probably way less effort than you think it is to collect the data.
It takes me 30 minutes a week to do all of that. And I measure multiple categories, multiple products that I do it every day for my entire company. It takes me 30 minutes. Now, granted, I've got some practice, but when I was first starting, maybe it took me an hour, but pretty quickly it gets faster and faster and faster. And there's nothing better as an owner because it makes you feel like you're in control. You can see the numbers. It's like, it's important. I think a lot of people try to go to automation too fast and they discount that getting your hands dirty with this helps you experience it with it. Think about copywriting. What's the first thing to teach you about copywriting? Go record Gary Halbert's letter, write it down by hand. So you get a feel for the words as you're writing the words, right? It's not about just copying and pasting stuff because you're not gonna learn, right? But as you're writing it and going through the motions, your body, you're building muscle doing that. So do that with your numbers, be okay with that. You don't have to do it forever, but do it for a little bit to get a feel for it. And then once you get the process down, then you focus on, okay, how do we automate this? Now that you really understand the machinery of it.
Oh, I love that. Well, and I love how you said, like, you know, some people jump into automation because I think it's so easy. You're like, well, I need to do this complicated thing. I have to use this complicated automation software because I don't have time. But like you were saying, and this is true for any aspect of marketing or a profession or any kind of skill. You have to do it yourself for a little bit. Like there's just no way around it. Not forever, just for a little bit. But, and it's going to suck and it's going to take a while because you're not good at it yet. But at the end of the day, like you'll have so much trust in yourself and in the numbers because you are the one that put it together that now everything moving forward, you're going to have a ton of confidence to make those decisions on versus this is probably the right answer given the data that I have, but I really wish I had this data, but I don't. So I'm just going to hope. And so great advice. Now, I know you do have a course at digitalmarketer.com. Could you just say kind of how you put it together? You know, we talked to a few people and you were by far the most qualified and awesome. So what's in it? What can people learn?
Everything is in that course. That's the good news for everyone listening to the podcast that has access to that. So for sure. But it starts with just an overview of why GA4 exists and how it is different from the old one and how it's organized. Because you have to, it's a completely different way of thinking about measurement. And you need to understand that. It's like if you're really good at cooking, but you really understand how to cook burgers on a grill, you're not going to be equally as good at making pies and cakes. It's a different skill, right? Different ingredients. Grilling is cooking, but it's, so is baking in a way, but not really, right? It's different, even though they're both producing food. So that's how you think about GA4. It's a different skill. So you might be good at grilling, but GA4 is different, a little nuance. So we start with that and give everybody a firm foundation so they understand, okay, they're not in Kansas anymore. Here's how this operates. Here's why it operates like this. Then we go through, okay, here's how to activate it. And then we'll touch you how to configure it because that's the problem. People think they set it up because they turn it on, but it's not set up properly. The way to think about that is like if I have a bunch of Scrabble tiles, right? There are words, there are sentences inside a box of Scrabble tiles. But when you look at it, you just see a bunch of Scrabble tiles. It's a bunch of miscellaneous stuff that doesn't make sense, right? Until you organize them into words and sentences, then they start to tell a natural story. Same thing with Google Analytics. When it starts coming in, it's gonna be able to ripped up pieces of data. It's just a bunch of Scrabble tiles of data. You have to configure it so you can teach it your story, your language, what you want to know, the questions you're trying to answer, the actions, so that you can take the actions that you want to take. And when you take that time to configure it, which again, you really don't think you have to do that mass configuration once and then you just sort of keep it updated. But when you configure it, which we show you how to do in that course, then it becomes a lot simpler. Now, when you look at the reports, it's like, oh, this just makes sense. There's no more of that matrix feeling of like, gosh, what does this even mean? I have no idea. You're like, oh, I know exactly what this means. Because it's like we said earlier, you know what the numbers mean because you're the one that put the numbers there. And you know why you put the numbers there because you know what you're going to do with that number. And that's the whole point. So now you see the reports and the reporting side is super easy. And it's funny because most courses, they just teach how to use it from the reporting standpoint. They're like, here's what this report does. Here's what this report does. You can click on this box to do this. None of that matters if you haven't configured it right, because you got a bunch of garbage in there anyway. So it's just going to be harder because you're literally slogging through stuff that isn't built to tell a natural story. So that's why we spend that time to do that. So you've got your foundations. And then once you've got that account configured, we go through the reports and we show you, here's how to do this report. Here's how to use this report. Here's how to use this report. And then we talk about different ways of applying measurement strategy so you can get more from that tool. So it covers everything that you really need. It is made for beginners. And it is made for those people who maybe have got it kind of running, but just aren't really confident that they're getting the most from it. So even if you've got a little bit of experience, I would still go back and watch that and grab that, because you probably missed something in the configuration that's causing that. You just didn't realize was a thing. And then once you see that, now all of a sudden things get better. So it's a full cycle course. Everything that you need to not only get started, but to keep using it and to constantly improve it is back there.
I love it. Well, and like you said, I think if you did have a good hand on Universal, like you should still review the whole course, because I've been using, that for at least 15, maybe 20 years, just always in there. And even I don't know a whole bunch, and I have a bunch of preconceived notions from 20 years ago of marketing, which may not apply now, or you have a lot more information now. So you don't have to depend on those old numbers that you've kind of, grown used to relying on. Like, there's a bunch of new stuff. And on top of that, you should have a custom system. We all have custom products. We have custom companies. We have custom messages and objectives. And
why would you have custom measurement? You're exactly right. Yeah. Why would you generically measure your business like every other business in the world? You can't. You're special.
Everybody's special. Yes.
You need a special measurement system. I love that.
No, well, that's fantastic. I recommend everybody check it out. I know you've already done some updates on it too, right? Like with some of the things that have happened.
Yeah, we have. And we've got more coming on the way. That's one thing we're trying to do, is make sure we keep that course up to date, because the Google Analytics 4 platform, and this is kudos to Google and also a little knock on Google, they are constantly updating it. So it's frustrating a lot of people because they're updating it. But what's happening, this is how I'm choosing to look at it, is they're getting feedback and they're seeing what's working and what's not. So they're updating it to make sure it's more and more useful. Especially when it comes, we haven't even talked about this, but when it comes to Google Ads, if you're using Google Ads at all, boy, they are connecting those two platforms together. So one makes the other one more powerful and vice versa, which is kind of nice. So that's the stuff that as the platform evolves, I realize that there might be people here going, yeah, it sucks, because every time I'm turning around, there's something different. It's going to be like that for a little while because it's new. Pretty quickly, that'll start to cool down. They won't have as many of those big, massive updates anymore. At least I hope so, too, as a course creator, because it forces you to redo everything. But it is every time they do that, it is a better version of itself, and it is more useful, it is easier, or it is more powerful. So for me, it's like, okay, that juice is worth the squeeze I'm having to go through. It's a little annoying, but I'd rather have a more powerful tool that's going to be stronger for me as I learn, So that's kind of how I think about that.
I love that. Well, I think the perspective is really good. I think the opportunity is there for everybody to learn. People might think that you've seen the GA4 courses online. You haven't. Like, this is way more detailed and a whole other level. Well, it's built for marketers. It's not just like, hey, you're a random person. It's like, no, you're a marketer. You understand strategy. Hopefully you understand what we teach a digital marketer. And now you can apply it to this awesome tool that's not going to track all this crap that used to take, months to put together. So you never did it.
And that's a really good point. This is, we built the course for marketers. We're speaking to you as a marketer, not as a data analyst. And I think a lot of like the courses on Udemy or whatever else, they're speaking to data analysts who understand numbers so they can, the tool's easier for them. Because they're using it for different reasons. But a marketer needs to think from a strategic standpoint, which is why we did that. So that's exactly right. I'm glad you brought that up.
No, that's fantastic. Well, so definitely check that out at digitalmarketer.com. Where can people learn more about you and all the stuff that you do?
Absolutely. Well, measurementmarketing.io is our main site. So you'd obviously go through there and check us out. We've got a bunch of free training over at measurementmarketing.io/YouTube on our YouTube channel if you want to do that. And then anybody that's interested in that free membership I talked about, where you have access to weekly workshops and a ton of marketing tools that you can use for measurement, traffic checking toolkits and stuff like that, measurementmarketing.io/DM will take you there. So measurementmarketing.io/DM.
Excellent. And we'll have all that linked in the notes. So look for that there. And thanks a lot, Mercer. I really appreciate your time. I think we'll definitely have to have you back in a few months to talk about other changes to the system.
There'd definitely be changes. That's the best part.
And what the new year brought. That'll be good. Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the course and everything that you do. And I think, your combination of really understanding digital marketing and then really understanding, UA4, which I think that there's very few people who actually understand, or GA4, not UA4, that you're the one. So thank you for staying up to date, and we really appreciate your contributions.
Happy to help, and thanks again for the opportunity to share.
All right. And thank you so much for listening. Be sure to hit that follow button so you get notified when all of our new episodes release. Please share this with a friend who's clueless about digital marketing. And don't forget to visit digitalmarketer.com, where you can access all of our courses, certifications, and training programs. Thanks again, everyone, and we'll see you next time.
This is Digital Marketer. Digital Marketer.
Get ready for the two easiest ways for you to generate product photos for your e-commerce store. I'm Lauren Petrullo, founder and CEO of Mongoose Media and Digital Marketer Academy faculty member. I've managed over 50,000 SKUs for over 100 different e-commerce sites, and I cannot tell you the importance of quality product photos. Not only are they important for your website, but they're great to be repurposed in your email marketing campaigns, your paid ad initiatives, and your organic social media content. It's imperative that you have great photos because great photos sell your products and start conversations with your consumers. There are two great solutions when seeking out quality product photos for your e-commerce site. One, UGC. We know that native user-generated content wins all day on social. When you can get your customers to share back their use of your products in their voice, in their personal applications, you will see dividends when that is repurposed in your paid ads and organic social feeds. Secondly, don't have customers or UGC yet? Not a problem. There are cost-effective solutions in which you can outsource that photography. This and so much more is covered in my modules in our e-commerce cert with Digital Marketer.